Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Welcome to Dragonfly Tales, a story podcast with me, Emily. And each episode, I'll tell you a story from around the world and share some fun and silly things with you. This episode, we are very lucky. We have two exciting stories for you. We have the concluding part of our Native American tale, The Legend of Falling Star. But before that, we have a guest teller. We are joined this episode by the lovely Kim from Super Great Kids Stories podcast. If you haven't checked out this amazing podcast, you really should. Last time Kim joined us, she told us a Christmassy tale from Siberia. But this time, she's sharing a Japanese story all about some stripy, furry animals. Badgers. In old Japanese folklore, badgers are called mujina, and they can change their shape. They're even able to change into humans. They can be a bit mischievous and sometimes play naughty tricks on humans. I can't wait to find out what these badgers get up to. Would you like to hear the story? So here is Kim Normanton with The Kind Badgers.
Once upon a time in Japan, there was a farmer who had a son who was getting married. A great feast was prepared of sushi and shrimp and red bean rice called sekihan, which is thought to bring good luck. Ooh, they had a wonderful time eating and drinking and dancing and singing. The party went on long into the night, and at last the man and his wife waved off the guests.
Oh, let's tidy up in the morning, they decided as they yawned and sank wearily onto their beds, tired but happy. Soon they were fast asleep. But deep in the middle of the night, when the moon was high, the old man woke with a start. Wide awake now, he lay on his mat and listened.
Crash, bang, smash, boom, went the noise. It was coming from the room next door. And then it came again. Crash, bang, smash, boom. Could it be thieves? Thought the man, his heart thumping. Very quietly and bravely, he tiptoed across the bedroom. Very quietly, he slid back the door to the front room. There, crawling all over the furniture, were badgers. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six furry badgers, prowling around on their short, stubby legs and snuffling at the bowls of half-eaten food. Sniffle, snuffle, sniff, sniff, twitchy, twitchy, twitchy. Sniffle, snuffle, sniff, sniff, twitchy, twitchy, twitchy. Can you help me? Sniffle, snuffle, sniff, sniff, twitchy, twitchy, twitchy. Sniffle, snuffle, sniff, sniff, twitchy, twitchy, twitchy. Huh! How on earth did they get in here? Thought the old man. And he was about to pick up a broom and shoo them all out when he noticed two very young badgers watching their parents feeding hungrily on the red bean rice. Those badgers were so thin you could see their ribs. And once the parents had eaten, the young cubs copied them and carefully licked the bowls clean. Oh, you poor things, thought the farmer. Has life been hard for you? I know what it's like to go hungry. I was often hungry when I was a boy. And we've had such a happy day. I don't see why we can't share some of our good fortune with you.
Eat well, my furry friends, he whispered.
And quietly sliding back the door, he went back to his bed.
What was it?
Asked his wife sleepily.
Nothing to worry about, said her husband. Just some hungry badgers looking for a few crumbs.
Badgers? His wife sat up. Badgers? Dirty creatures? They'll ruin my nice clean mats and break my pretty new china. Go and shoo them away. Go now. Go, 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 go.
But the old man had made up his mind. Not these badgers. They're good badgers. There'll be no trouble. Let's show them some kindness and leave them be. They looked hungry. And the old man rolled over and went back to sleep. In the morning, the woman got up and ran anxiously into her front room. But she needn't have worried. Everything was just as they'd left it, except the Sekihan bowls had been licked clean.
See, said the farmer happily. I told you they were good badgers. Very polite guests. They even washed the dishes. His wife wasn't so sure.
Go and find out where they got in and fix that hole. I don't want them coming back. So the farmer did as he was told and closed up the hole. But he was worrying about those cubs not getting enough food. So that evening, after dinner, he put out a bowl of leftovers in front of the house.
Ah, no, surely you're just encouraging them to come back, complained his wife. Badgers are dirty and noisy. They'll keep us awake.
Not these badgers. They're clean and quiet badgers. Very considerate, you'll see, said the farmer. And the next morning, sure enough, once again, the food had all been eaten. See? They didn't wake us up or make a mess. I told you, they're good badgers, insisted the farmer. And so it went on, day after day.
Aren't you a funny one, said his wife, bothering so about badgers.
Well, you might be right, said the old man, but I want you to stay up with me tonight and watch them. The moon will be full and it'll be a beautiful night. Let's stay up together like we did in the old days, watching the stars and the moon and the badgers. The farmer's wife pretended to grumble, but actually she was quite pleased. It was a magical night and sure enough, under the light of the moon, the badger family soon waddled over. And their noses went, can you remember? Sniffle, snuffle, sniff, sniff, twitchy, twitchy, twitchy. Sniffle, snuffle, sniff, sniff, twitchy, twitchy, twitchy. They sniffed about looking for food, and once they'd finished eating, the cubs played tag and rolled around merrily on their backs. See, what do you think? Asked the farmer.
Yes, you're right, agreed the farmer's wife. They are adorable.
And so, after that night, she joined her husband in leaving out little badger snicky snacks for the whole family. The days passed and the weeks passed. But one night, the old farmer awoke with a start to more crashing and banging. Wide awake now, he lay on his mat and listened. Crash, bang, smash, boom, it went. It was coming from the room next door. And then again, can you help me? Crash, bang, smash, boom.
What's that? Asked the woman.
Husband, I think your badgers have broken into the house again. Go and shoo them out.
Just as the old farmer was about to get out of bed to tell the badgers off, the door to their room slid open. And there, in the doorway, were two huge men holding big, scary swords.
Who are you? What do you want?
Stammered the old farmer.
Money, money. We want money, said the thieves, flashing their swords in the moonlight.
I don't keep any money at home, stammered the farmer, clinging to his wife.
Don't you lie, said the thieves. Give us your money, or we'll chop off your heads with our swords. Money, money, we want money. Suddenly, there was a loud crash from the room next door.
What was that?
Asked one of the thieves, looking round as loud footsteps approached.
Thump, ker, thump. Thump, ker, thump.
Can you help me?
Thump, ker, thump. Thump, ker, thump.
And crash! The door to the bedroom came slamming down. There stood two wrestlers. Two huge, muscly wrestlers with legs like tree trunks and heads like rocks. One of the wrestlers pointed to the door for the thieves to leave.
Ha! You don't scare me, taunted the first thief, flashing his sword blade in the moonlight. I've got a sword.
Quick as you like, the first wrestler grabbed the thief's arm and twisted the sword out of his hand. Then, with a flick of his wrist, the wrestler flipped the thief upside down and kaboom, he was flat, splat on his back. The second wrestler turned to the second thief and stamped his foot on the floor, which flexed like a trampoline. The second thief was not about to hang around. He bent down to help his friend, and together they fled over the hills and far away and were never seen again. As for the farmer and his wife, they jumped out of bed and bowed to the wrestlers. They bowed so low to show their respect that their heads almost touched the floor. Our honourable friends, how can we thank you enough? You've saved our lives. But when they stood up, the wrestlers had gone. Scaramouche vanished.
Where did they go?
Asked the farmer's wife. They looked up, they looked down, they looked all around, but there was no sign of them.
I reckon that was magic, muttered the farmer's wife as she put out the badger's snicky snacks that evening.
Later, when they went to bed, the farmer and his wife were still puzzling over who it was who came to help them. And do you know, that night, the farmer, he had a strange dream. Have you ever had a strange dream? He dreamed that into their guest room came the badger family, who waddled in one after another.
Schlump, schlump, schlumperty schlump.
And their noses went. Can you remember?
Sniffle, snuffle, sniff, sniff, twitchy, twitchy, twitchy.
Sniffle, snuffle, sniff, sniff, twitchy, twitchy, twitchy. Then the oldest badger stepped forward. We can't talk to you, and we can't thank you when you're awake, so we've come to thank you in this dream.
You helped us, so now we've been able to help you. We've been short of food recently, so we thank you very much for feeding us and all my family.
Ah, tis nothing, tis nothing, said the old farmer in the dream.
No, it's not nothing, said the badger. You helped us, and that was why we wanted to help you.
Ah, so it was you who came to protect us from the thieves, asked the farmer's wife, amazed.
Yes. We can shift into many disguises, admitted the badger proudly. A wrestler is one of my favourites.
And you can be sure that from now on, one of us will always be there guarding you. And you can be sure that from now on, your family will never go hungry so long as we have food to eat,
said the farmer's wife.
The badger bowed deeply. Now, to mark this happy occasion, my children would like to dance for you, said Mr. Badger, and he began to drum on his tummy.
Kutchi, 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 kara, 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 hop! Kutchi, 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 kara, 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 hop!
At that signal, his children began to sing and dance a little dance, similar to the dance at the wedding.
Suku, 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 dom! Suku, 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 dom, dom, dom! Hoopsa, hoopsa, hoop!
Then, with a bow, the badgers put their noses to the ground and waddled out of the dream. The next morning, the old farmer could not wait to tell his wife about his strange dream. Such a strange dream I had, and he told her all about it.
Well, 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 said his wife, your strangeness must be catching, because I dreamed exactly the same dream. Now, how is that possible? And they both laughed at the magic of it all. So, every night after that, the old farmer and his wife left out some tasty snicky snacks for the badgers. And on cold, dark evenings, when they saw a shape a bit like a rock sitting outside their front door, they'd take out some hot green tea, because they knew that was no rock, but a kind badger in disguise. And do you know, they were never bothered by thieves ever again. And as for the badgers and the farmer and his wife, well, I'm pleased to be able to tell you that they all lived happily ever after. And that is where that story ends.
So, listeners, did you like Kim's story? What was your favourite bit? My favourite bit had to be when the badger was playing his tummy like a drum and all the other badgers were dancing and singing. I also really like Kim's little rhymes. Do you remember? Sniffle, snuffle, sniff, sniff. Twitchy, twitchy, twitchy. Oh, thanks, Kim. And don't forget to check out Super Great Kid Stories podcast. So before we get to part two of Falling Star, I think it's time for some shout-outs. And because it's the merry, merry month of May, we have some birthday shout-outs. Here's one to Agnes, who lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, and she'll be turning 7 this May. Happy birthday, Agnes! Next, we have a shout out to Kian, who's in Brighton, and he's going to be 5 in May. Oh, happy birthday, Kian! We also have a brand new patron who has joined us. His name is Alec. He lives in Mallorca, and his birthday is in September. And Alec is 8. Hi, Alec. Thanks for listening. And finally, here's a shout out to Magnus, who is 6, and Tilda, who is 3. And they're from Aschaffenburg in Germany. They've just joined us over on Patreon. Hi, folks. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you would like a shout out and also to access more stories, early content and more, come over to Patreon and become a little sprite or a power pixie. But remember to ask your grown-ups first. So, listeners, it's time to head back to the Great Plains for part 2 of my story. Do you remember what happened to Falling Star at the end of part 1? That's right. He'd just been swallowed. So, I think we should start. Falling Star found himself in the huge dark belly of a river monster. Falling Star found himself in the huge dark belly of the river monster. It was as big as a cave. It was also slimy and spongy and smelled of rotten fish.
Because he was a star child, Falling Star could see in the dark. All stars can see in the dark because they come out at night. But there wasn't much to see in the monster's stomach. He found his bow and arrows covered with sticky goo. He shook them off and strapped them to his back again. And then Falling Star began to walk carefully through the belly. "How am I going to get out of here?" he said out loud.
"Hello? Who's there?"
"Hey, you! Where are you? Help us!"
"Please help us! We're trapped!"
Voices. Lots of them. Falling Star kept going until he found a group of people. Men, women, children, all huddled together in the dark.
"Have you been swallowed too?" he said.
A young man stood up uneasily.
"Yes, we've been trapped inside this beast for ages. We're so hungry. We've been eating the fish it swallows."
A little girl reached out her hands through the darkness.
"Please, help us get out. I want to go home."
"Me too."
"Me too.
Yes, and me. Please help us."
The poor swallowed tribe looked miserable and frightened.
"Well, there must be a way out," said Falling Star. "We've tried to look, but we can't see anything," said another boy.
Just then, there was a huge rumbling noise.
"Oh no, it's lunchtime. Hold on, everyone."
Falling Star turned around to see water rushing toward them. The creature had opened its mouth and swallowed a shoal of fish.
"Look out!"
The water plunged over them, leaving them spluttering and coughing and covered in flapping fish.
"Oh, this is ridiculous!"
Falling Star took a fish off his head and felt his way over to the wall of the creature's stomach. And then he had an idea.
Can everybody swim?"
The poor group all nodded their heads.
"Good, good. Then I think I have a plan. We'll make a way out."
"What? He's crazy!"
"What do you mean, make a way out? Oh, we're stuck here forever."
"Maybe, but this might just work."
Falling Star reached around and took one of the arrows from its quiver. He remembered what Father Meadowlark had told him.
"When you fell to earth, you shook stardust all around you, and that dust turned into sharp stones. These are your arrowheads, strongest of all arrows."
Falling Star pressed the arrow against the wall of the creature's belly.
"Right, I'm going to cut a door. When it opens, we will all need to swim out fast. Are you ready?"
All of the crowd nodded and got behind Falling Star.
"Right. The creature's not going to like this."
Falling Star pushed the arrow into the wall and began to cut a door shape. The water began to pour in the sides and the creature began to roar. It thrashed and thrashed in the water. Standing on the shore, the old grandmother and the other few tribe members had been weeping for Falling Star. Now they watched in terror as the river monster rolled and screamed in the river. Then it turned, dived under, and swam away. Everybody on the shore held their breath. And then they saw little bubbles coming to the surface, and then more bubbles breaking, as the swallowed tribe swam up together and dragged each other out of the river. Finally, up swam Falling Star. He picked up the bobbing bucket, filled it with water, and presented it to the old woman. "Here you are, Grandmother. Some water. And the rest of your tribe." The old woman hugged him tight, tears of joy in her eyes. And then she turned to the tribe. "This is Falling Star, and he has saved our people." Everyone bowed to him, and that night a great feast was held to honour Falling Star and celebrate the return of the lost tribe. But in the morning, Falling Star woke early. He came out of the teepee and looked up at the sky. He could still see the brightest star twinkling down on him. There was another star close by, and that seemed to quiver and dance in the morning blue. And somehow, Falling Star knew who they were, his beloved star parents. He knew that he must walk on, for there was another tribe in need. Falling Star said goodbye to the old woman and the river tribe, and with his bow and arrows on his back and some food and water in a bag, he set off along the river once more. Falling Star travelled a long time, moving inland over prairies and hills and out onto the great plains where the breeze whirled and leaves danced, where coyotes howled at the full moon and the stars twinkled down on him, watching his journey. After many days of walking, he saw a camp up ahead. It was much bigger than the last. "This must be a powerful tribe," he thought. But as he approached, he saw that most of the tribe members were sat down around a big fire, as if a great meeting was taking place. At the head of the circle was an older man, tall and strong. His body was painted with strange markings, and he wore a fine cloak. "That must be the chief of the tribe," thought Falling Star. Then he felt something sharp in his back. "Halt! Who trespasses here?" Falling Star raised his hands up and turned around slowly. There was the most beautiful girl he'd ever seen. She was about the same age as him, with long dark hair in a plait, and she wore beautiful jewellery and the same sort of robe as the chief. And she was pointing her bow and arrow straight at Falling Star.
Hello. I am Falling Star. I come in peace. I'm very hungry. Please may I stay a while at your camp?"
The girl lowered her arrow just a little.
"My father will have to decide that. Move. Go on."
She poked him with the arrow toward the great circle. All the tribe members jumped up, but the chief calmed them.
"Who are you, boy?"
I am Falling Star. I saved the river tribe from a great monster. I'm very hungry. Please may I stay a while at your camp?"
There was a muttering and discussion and shaking of heads, but the chief raised his hand for silence.
"We are the Cheyenne tribe. The river tribe are friends. If what you say is true, you are a fine warrior, boy. You can stay, but there is no food, for we cannot hunt."
"But why?" asked Falling Star.
The girl came forward and sat by her father, the chief. Because of the crow. Whenever our hunters go out for buffalo, a great white crow warns them and drives them away. We've had no meat for weeks. Falling Star looked at the gathered tribe. They looked tired and hungry. Let me help you. I will catch this crow, he said.
You? How?
I have a plan. I will need an old buffalo hide to wear, and I will need the fastest runner in your whole tribe.
The chief smiled. My daughter, Melly, is by far the fastest runner.
The girl smiled back. That's me. Falling Star said, good. My plan is this. Tomorrow morning, I will wear the buffalo skin and wait for the buffalo. When the herd runs, I will follow in disguise. Melly, you must chase me and pretend to shoot me down. I will lie as if I am dead and wait for the great white crow to come. When it tries to pick at me, I will catch it. There was more muttering and shaking heads, but Melly stood up. I like this plan, Father. I will help Falling Star, and together we can catch the great white crow. The chief thought for some time, and then he nodded.
So be it. Good luck, young ones.
As the dawn was breaking, Falling Star and Melly made their way to where the buffalo graze. Falling Star was wearing the huge buffalo skin and head. It was hot and heavy. Melly hid behind a rock as Falling Star crept way out to the herd, pretending to be one of them. When they saw him, they snorted and scraped their great hooves and then continued to graze. When all was quiet, Melly leapt from behind the rock with her bow and arrow. She whooped and cried to make the buffalo run. The herd began to run fast. Falling Star ran with them. He was swift as a meadowlark, and Melly ran behind as if hunting. All of a sudden, the sun was eclipsed. A huge shadow appeared on the ground next to Falling Star. Above him loomed the great white crow, bigger than any bird he had ever seen. The crow shrieked at the buffalo. Run, you stupid fools! Run, you silly cows! Quah! Quah! The buffalo charged across the plains as the bird swooped over them. But Falling Star ran with them, and Melly was not far behind. She whooped a signal to Falling Star, woo 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 woo, and pretended to fire her arrow. The arrow whooshed through the air and just missed Falling Star. But he let out a huge pretend groan and fell to the ground. Oh! And then he lay still. Melly returned to her hiding place and watched as Falling Star lay in the middle of the great plains. As the sun rose higher, birds and coyotes and wolves began to slowly approach what they thought was a fallen buffalo, hoping for a taste of its meat. Falling Star did not move as the animals came closer and closer, sniffing and scratching. Suddenly, all the animals fled. As the huge crow circled overhead, cawing and cawing. Quah! Quah! It landed a little way off and hopped towards the carcass.
Is it dead? Is it dead?
It hopped a little closer,
Falling Star was sweating under the hot buffalo skin, but he laid perfectly still.
Is it dead? Is it dead? Ah!
The giant bird hopped closer still. The great white crow was very near now and was just about to peck at the buffalo when Falling Star reached out from under the buffalo's skin and grabbed the crow's legs. Ah! The bird began to scream and flapped its giant wings.
Let me go! Let me go! Wah! Wah! Let me go! Let me go! Wah!
Falling Star threw off the buffalo hide and held on to the giant bird. He jumped on its back just as the great crow strained and took to the sky. Melly watched in disbelief as the bird soared upwards with Falling Star on its back. Higher and higher the bird flew, screeching and screeching at Falling Star.
Off! 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 Rah! Off! Off! Rah!
Falling Star was holding on for dear life, afraid to look down, so he looked up and saw two stars above, dancing and twinkling. The great white crow became calm as a voice spoke.
This is Falling Star. He is a child of the stars. He is our son. You will do his bidding, now and always.
The great bird beat its wings more gently and began to descend, swooping in loops, gently, gently back down to the ground. When Falling Star climbed down from its back, the white crow bowed.
It is Falling Star. It is Falling Star. Caw, caw.
Thank you, great bird. You will allow the Cheyenne tribe to hunt only the buffalo they need.
Ah, I will. I will. Great Falling Star.
The bird spread its huge wings, leapt into the air, and flew away towards the horizon. That was amazing, said Millie on the walk back. You just rode the great white crow. Wait until the chief hears about this. Everyone was overjoyed when the two young people returned to tell their tale, and the Cheyenne chief made Falling Star a member of the tribe. Falling Star looked up, and the two stars were dancing in the sky. Here, yes, I shall stay here. These are my people. And so he stayed. And when they were older, Falling Star and Melly were married. And they had little star children of their own. And the Cheyenne tribes of the Great Plains tell the story to this day. The legend of the star child who brought them good fortune. The legend of Falling Star. The end. So, listeners, did you like that story? What was your favourite bit? My favourite bit of this story is definitely Falling Star's cunning. He's not only brave, he's also really clever. I love the plans he comes up with. I also love all the animals in this story too. How many animals did you spot in the whole story? So that's it for this episode. Thanks to Kim for her amazing story of the kind badgers, and we'll have another guest teller coming soon. And if you're enjoying our podcast, why not leave us a little review
on Apple or Spotify, or come and join us on Patreon for more story fun. And thank you so much. You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily. I hope you enjoyed our podcast and we'll have another story coming soon. But until then, star children we were meant to be. We're from the stars, you and me. Bye.
Our podcast is brought to you by Emily, Leo and Andy at Dragonfly Tales. Join our Dragonfly Tales podcast group on Facebook. Find us on Instagram at Dragonfly Tales Pod. And follow us on Twitter at Emily Dragonfly.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.